Good morning. Take your seats. God bless you. So I was in Vanuatu. Never been there before. Amazing time in Vanuatu, and to see our missionaries on the ground. And I was with Andy and Shawnee Chapman, and saw their land and prayed over their land. And they got an amazing heart. And was with Ray and Hannah Mala, and spent time with Alan and Bronwyn Prisk, and saw the restaurant and the ministry they're employing locals, and just worshiping God and loving God. And, you know, Alan taking snorkeling tours, suffering for Jesus. I never snorkeled, but I went out a bunch of times, and it was a bit harrowing at first, you know. Couldn't get that breathing thing. Tried to suck through my nose and nothing happening, but finally got it and was going hundreds of meters out, and it was just amazing. Saw lionfish. We saw humpback whales come through about 50 meters off the shore, and pods of dolphins, and got to pray for a bunch of people in that village, Mangalulu. It's just a hidden gem down this, I don't know, I guess it's a road. They called it a road. It was about 3 km down this mountain to the ocean and through this village, and just really fell in love with the people there. And pray for the Chapmans, pray for the Malas. It's about 60 years behind Fiji. I was so surprised at how developing it is, and needy that it is. And we went up to the north of Afate Island, where Port Vila is, and Ray's village is to the north. And I got to meet his uncles and the village, and they all were yelling and celebrating. Ray had come into the village, and some woman just put this little baby in his arms. He's driving the Alan and Bronwyn's vehicle in, and this little baby's in his arm, and she was adorable. And the kids are just jumping and cheering, and it was really nice to be celebrated, to come in. And we prayed over their land, and there was a dispute between Ray's family and the chief, and the chief is under investigation. And because of that, he was holding land title. He would not release it to Ray so that we could get going in the ministry. And so I was in the, we had borrowed the vehicle from Alan one day, and we were going to Port Vila, and he wanted to show me, and we were praying, and he wanted to show me where he was from. And it's amazing how God snatches people literally out of the hands of Satan. And for those who don't know Ray, I don't want to steal his thunder, but for those who don't know Ray's testimony, and if you don't know Ray, please, when he comes home, get to know him, pray for him. He comes from it's the most amazingly tough place I've ever been in my life. I've never seen a tougher place. It really just really wrenched my heart. I wouldn't take any photos. I won't show anybody. You'll have to go there. We're going to take a team. We're going to plant a church there next year. And we're going to start the work this year. And he'll start a work with Hannah, like a training center, and we'll have to church plant from that, because we're going to ruin people for denominationalism. Hallelujah! And hopefully you're ruined in this place as well. We minister to people. But anyway, I got to meet his mom, and we were in the vehicle before we did all this, and I just said, hey, we got to go to the Council of Chiefs. And the Lord just told me, now's the time. Go to the Council of Chiefs. I didn't know what the Council of Chiefs was. And he kind of looked at me like, you're nuts. And then he said, Dave, you're crazy. And I said, yeah, but that's what the Lord said. He says, look, I need my brother. I don't know where Carlo is, and who knows where Carlo is. I don't know if he's home. I don't know if he's in a village. I don't know where he is. And I need him to sign off of any paperwork we do. I said, well, call him. He said, okay. And Carlo answers the phone. He says, oh, yeah. I'm around. Come get me. I'm weightlifting. Come get me. Pick me up. And we picked him up. And then I got to see the village. And I'm like, man, okay. So Ray's like, this is a miracle. No one knows where Carlo is. And he answered his phone. This is good. This is awesome. Okay. So we go to the Council of Chiefs. And he goes, hey, people are in the office. This is a good day, you know. And the expert was there and told him what he had to do to get around the chief's, you know, barrier. And so they've applied. We had the money to pay for the application, and so things are in motion, and hopefully by Christmas we'll have that land in their hand, and we'll see things start. So I was there for a week and got to pray over people who were cursed with black magic. It was amazing to see the effects of black magic. And we live in a Western world with our reasoning and our logic and our education and our, you know, certificates and our bachelor's and our master's, and people get cursed with black magic and there's effects. And so I got to pray for Alan Bronwyn's groundskeeper. Coco was cursed, and his leg, I got a picture of it if you want to see it. If you like gross stuff, good. And it was totally healed. He could wear a boot the next day, smiling. He's getting married next month. He was all happy and concerned of what that would do, you know, to him long term. And so God, you know, so good, moving in, hallelujah, power of the Holy Spirit in Vanuatu. And then I took Ray, which was an adventure, to Melbourne. And we went to the Pacific Islander Influencers Conference. I went last year, was asked to speak again, and it was a good time for Ray to meet people from around the Pacific. There's 18 countries represented, all from the South Pacific, and it was amazing. God moved in amazing power. Actually, twice I had to hold on to the chair so I wouldn't fall down under the presence and during worship. It was incredible. So I had Samoans and Cook Islanders and Tongans and from people from Tuvalu and Kiribati and Nauru and all over, and different worship teams and singing in their native tongue and other people's tongue and tongues and even English once in a while. It was great. And God really networked us with some really dear people. Solomon Chand was there, those that know him. And I got to meet people that I wouldn't necessarily have in a radar, but Ray got to meet people, and he's going to have teams coming in from the Marshall Island and New Zealand and Fiji to help him, and it's going to be amazing. One guy I met is an ex-Green Beret. This guy was so cool, man. This guy's name is Steve Clark. He's in the Marshall Island. He's been there 14 years, and he was just an incredible guy. Fell in love with Ray and the dancing pastor, Joe. Give my apologies. Some of you thought, you know, he was coming. Some of you have no idea. But for those that remember, Dancing Pastor went on Fiji teams in years past. He sends his love. He'll be with us next year. He hurt his back. He broke his back 20 years ago and got it kind of fixed 10 years ago, but it went as the enemy would have when he landed in Melbourne. Interesting. And so we sent him back early and with our love. And Joe's planting three churches before February. So I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know what I'm doing here. But these guys are, you know, are really focused on what Holy Spirit wants them to do with church planting. It's crazy. I met a guy, he's a Cook Islander. He's got 16 churches planted in 5 years in this country. There's just something going on with church planting in Australia. And these islanders just are, you know, they're not backward, that's for sure. And, you know, I ask everybody I met, it's amazing. I even asked the Green Beret, because I know, being American, to be a Green Beret, you have to speak several languages. You have to be multilingual to be a Green Beret. So he spoke five, and everybody I talked to, even in Vanuatu, they speak 3, 4, 5 languages. You know, I have trouble with one. And it's a wonder if you understand me anyway. So, but, you know, God has these hidden gems all over the place that God is breathing on, and there's this amazing, can I say, fire in the rim of fire. So there's a prophetic symbolism going on, everybody, with volcanoes. There's 5 active in Vanuatu right now. They've actually had to evacuate an island, Ray's father's island. And I got to meet his uncle, and, you know, everybody's left everything behind, and they're praising God because they believe that it's the fire of God manifest that's breaking out in their nation. They actually believe that. This uncle's like, it don't matter, brother. It's the Holy Ghost fire. It's the Holy Ghost fire. And I'm like, wow, dude, your house could be gone. It's the Holy Ghost fire, you know. We'll rebuild, you know, whatever rock is there. Okay. You know, different mentality. God created everything that's created. He's the creator. On the 6th day, he created man. On the 7th day, he rested. So really, God intended for man to start his week in rest. Man's first day was God's seventh. His first full day was the seventh day, which was a position of rest. I wonder what you and I, how you and I can change falling into what we deem as a Catholic mentality, which is a mentality of works. The Catholics get a bad rap because every Protestant I know is working their way into God's good pleasure. It's a human thing. It's not a Catholic or Protestant thing. We default to work our way to get the pleasure that we already have received through Christ. So we burn ourselves out, and we burn each other out, and we crack the whip on ourselves and each other, and we work ourselves to the bone, trying to be blessed, trying to have someone say, hey, you're a good doobie. Here's a little tick in your box. Matter of fact, here's a cookie. Okay? God intended for us, and I'll submit to you that creation itself is a temple that he created for himself that can't contain him. Our God's so big. Have you sat just a little bit and kind of thought, how big, how vast is this God? How measurable is God? Well, he's immeasurable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. It's quoting Isaiah 64, verse 4. And there's a plan that God has that's, you know, you cannot measure what he's designed for us to see and hear. But here's the thing is, we're trying to work our way to let God give us a big plan, but there's a big plan for your life. And the thing is, we don't believe it. We think it's for our neighbor because they're better looking and they're in better shape and they have better clothes and they have more money. They hold their Bible the best way. They hold themselves better than we do, and we're in this identity crisis that's only cured by Christ. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope, expectation to which he has what called you. Everybody stand up. You ain't going to sleep this morning. I know. Every other Sunday you got away with it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are called. Now turn to another neighbor and say, believe it. You can sit back down. He says that he wants you not only to know that he's called you, but he wants you to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward who? Toward us. Who what? Believe. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers in this scripture. According to the walking of his great might, 1 Kings 8, 27, but will God indeed dwell in the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain him. How much less this house that I have built? And in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and throughout Scripture, we see that God's made us to be this wonderful temple that we can contain him. He has designed your life to dwell in, hallelujah, to live in, to move through, to exude out of. You got to believe it. It says, these signs shall follow them, not to show up to church, not to have a Bible, not just to attend, them that believe, Mark 16, 17, 18. We have to believe in order for signs to follow us who believe. Now, the Holy Ghost is God. There is no doubt. I can tell you, you can put on any leaves. There are leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. The Scripture says. You can pick all the leaves you want to pick and put them on a leg cursed by black magic. It ain't going to work. You can try penicillin. He had all sorts of, you know, medical procedure done. I'll tell you what did it. The blood and the name of Jesus Christ did it. Ray was there. This guy's face, it changed. All you Prisk, you know Coco, it's Coco. Go talk to him. Go ask him. They cursed his rugby boot because they were jealous of him being so good in a sport. You say, that doesn't equate into the Western world. Ladies and gentlemen, we were born under a curse. We were born cursed. And Jesus reversed the curse by his name and his blood. And he reversed the curse. When we accept Jesus, there's no curse over my life. Hallelujah. And I come into the immeasurable, vast plan of God. God created everything imaginable, and creation cannot contain him. Yet he limits himself to live in our heart. And he says he wants the eyes of our heart opened to see the vastness of the plan and the calling and the riches he has for us. I can tell you, it doesn't happen naturally. We need God, the Holy Spirit, to give us eyesight to see this amazing plan. And usually we see this much. But there's so much more. It's like the little iceberg tip that you see. You know, I got to see these whales, humpback whales, come through. And I got some video of it. But, you know, not the whole whale come over the surface. But I can tell you, it was big enough of reaching the surface that we all kind of, you know, made these, ooh, ah, whoa. You know, Bronwyn was awesome. Whoa! She's screaming from the shore as Alan and Hannah are getting a kayak, coming, trying to get near the two adults with a calf. And I'm like, I don't know. Those are big things, and they're probably going to protect their baby. I'll just stay right here. You know, we saw a pod of dolphins twice, two different locations, and showing off for us, jumping and just showing off as we whistled to them and called to them. And I think, man, how amazing is creation? How amazing is the Creator who designed a dolphin to do that? What's he designed for you to do? How much more is there? Well, can I say that how much more is there? And we get excited by a sermon like this. You know, you get all pumped up and, you know, say, hey, there's an amazing thing. And we can fall right into works. I got to be like JoJo the bunny who lost his head running around trying to do everything for everybody. And everybody sees I'm a hell of a nice guy. And earn my position into God and into the church. It's already earned. His name was Jesus. The thing we don't hear about a lot is that God has designed, even from creation, for humanity to live, can I say, in a position of rest, even while doing the works that only God has prepared for you to do for his glory. Who prepared the works? God did. What are they for? Him. And is there works to do? Yeah, you got works to do. He's prepared works for you to do. But we do them from a position of rest. Not religion, which is a terrible, amazingly terrible, brutal taskmaster. Because religion says this: you will never measure up. You'll never make it. Because you jumped this high after I asked you to? Sorry, it was actually this high. You jump this side? No, dude. It's here now. The bar's here. You'll never measure up to a religious works mentality to get to heaven. You won't make it. That's why Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came because you and I can't make it. And so he set us up to live in a position in Christ in rest. Ephesians 3:19, may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I love how God gives us his love and says, you can't really understand it, just receive it. Yeah, but to receive it, I got to understand. You didn't understand Jesus before you received him. You just received by faith. You just knew that you needed Jesus. You take Jesus in, and he starts to unfold himself. He starts to reveal himself in our life. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. Which what? God prepared in advance. So everybody in the room, you are not dead. All those that have a life pronouncement of Christ, live in it. All those who have had a death sentence spoken over you, I break it in Jesus Christ's name. Until you're dead, you have works to do for him. After you're dead, your works will continue because you're actually being prepared for an eternal destiny, and you won't be a little fat cherub with a harp, I can guarantee you. He prepared works for us. But the mentality we fall into is a mentality of working our way to the works. Chill out in Jesus' name. You know why people burn out? Because they're working their way to the works. The amazing gift God given us is his peace. He's Sar Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, I know it just statistically, in a size crowd like this, we got people battling with anxiety and worry. We have people that don't have optimum peace. Jesus is the solution. He is Sar Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. You know, I want to remove the sense of false responsibility off some of your shoulders today. That taskmaster that says it all rests on you. You know, if you don't get this right, there's no hope. It's a lie. It's a lie. Who's ever messed up in their life? Just raise your hand. Just, you know, here you are. You're still here. Isn't that miraculous? All you mess ups are still here. No lightning took you out yet. Do you know why? It's not based on works. Lest men should boast. It's based on our relationship. It's based on our heart in him. Do you know you can love Jesus, freak up all the time, and still make it? That's called grace. How many got one day? You can tell me one day you were perfect. That one day. Raise your hand. See what I'm saying? This is cast out a spirit of lying soon. Hey? You remember that one day we got everything perfect? To call yourself perfect is to say you know more than God. God is so amazingly intelligent. He's so intelligent, he decided that you were needed to live on earth right now. He picked you. He chose you. You're born for such a time as this. He wants you to find out the amazing God of rest that he is. He's prepared things for us to do, but he doesn't want us to fall into a works mentality that we're working our way into a frenzy and collapse in doing good. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my presence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What? I thought it was my energy, sweat, blood, and tears. I thought it was all about me. I thought it was my effort. I thought it was my energy. I thought it was my praying in tongues for 14 hours for Sam Prisk to get it. Just kidding. It was 13 hours. Right? I thought it was my, you know, reading scripture after scripture and quoting. I thought it was my merit. That's not what Scripture says. You know, everything comes from Him. Everything is to His glory. Somewhere we've been duped into believing that you know, in some way I deserve, right? In some way, you know, it's God's grace. And actually, if you read Scripture, it says, to those that believe, to those that repent, to those that follow, He calls sons and daughters. We're just not automatically. So it's a heart thing that positions myself to rest. Do you know that God loves you so much? That, you know, He wants our obedience. Don't get me wrong. He wants us to be presented with His plan and then for us to trust and obey. But it's not the works He's looking for you to accomplish. It's the heart in the middle of doing towards Him that He wants to accomplish. Ladies and gentlemen, you could possibly do nothing that we could measure that man would say that counted. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but it says God looks on the inward appearance, you know, the inward being. And so, you know, it says that as if I have Christ in me, He sees that. You know, that's the only thing that really matters. There's people doing all sorts of stuff that won't count for anything spiritually. So you don't have to build anything. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to chop anything down. You don't have to grow anything. You don't have to start anything, stop anything to get God's pleasure. All we have to do is have a heart after the one who is uncontainable, who has a life for us that can't be contained, because if I'm in Christ, please measure how impacting my life will be. You can't measure it. When God takes you to the restaurant or the grocery store or wherever you live or where you go to school, His presence makes impact whether you feel it or not. We want to quantify by things. He wants to quantify by the one thing. It's Him in our heart. You know, what great thing did Anna do in the Bible to merit her name being called a prophetess and being mentioned in Scripture? She was just an old woman that prayed and fasted and worshiped. What? So an old woman who just prays, fasts, and worships gets a merit from God? Absolutely. What did she build? You'll never know and I'll never know, but I can tell you it's pretty big. It's immeasurable. How about Simon? How about Simon, you know, of Cyrene? How about Simeon? How about these people that get little mention, but they do these amazing things that we quantify and say, well, that's not as good as Paul. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. Yeah. Paul was the chief of all sinners, he says. You know, we compete where God just wants us to cooperate. We think quantity is qualification, but it's not. Christ is our qualification. There is a Jewish man from New York that came through our ranks a number of years ago. He spoke on the word hineni in Scripture, which actually means here I am. And you can see the response. You can see it 178 times in Old Testament. It's 8 times really in the Torah that you can see where Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Samuel respond to God calling to them, the response in their heart is, here am I. Meaning, take me, do with me what you will, send me. I'm obedient. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now, God's looking for a heart response in us that says, here am I. Whatever it means, if I'm a no-name that prays every day, if I'm a no-name that misses it and gets to pray every other day, if I'm a no-name that prays once a week, if you just want me to shake hands with people and give a smile or build a building or preach a sermon, all God's looking for is a response. Here am I. Not I'm here. I'm here in this place. I'm right here. But here am I. Do with me what you will. It actually means I hear your call, God. It actually means I understand what you're asking of me. It actually means I'm prepared to do what you ask me to do, even though it might be hard or misunderstood. Because I know it's important to you, so it's important to me. God's got an amazing plan for you. I'm talking to you as an individual. He has an immense plan for you. It's not by works, lest we boast, but there are works for us to do. But it's standing in a position of rest. I don't have to strive to get the pleasure of God. You have the pleasure of God because you received him. And he's looking out of that position to say, here am I. When God calls, when he wants to reveal his calling to you, like it says in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, where your eyes of your heart are enlightened, he wants to call to us and hear us say, I'm in a position of rest. I'm not striving. I've been patiently waiting. Here am I. Take me where you want me to go. Use me and do what you want to do. Father God, we praise you and thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the vast, immense, amazing call of God in every person's life. I thank you we don't have to strive or be in works. I thank you, Lord, we're in freedom. Hallelujah. Lord, being ready to obey, being willing to be vessels of honor for you. Bless everybody here in Jesus' name. Amen. There'll be prophetic teams over here to my right if you want prayer. Just going to ask some of the elders to make themselves available to my left right here. And if you need prayer, come up. Some of the elders and others will pray for you. God bless you. See you tonight. Julie Darlington preaching. Enjoy the week.